thankful that you are a gracious, merciful, wonderful God. You have long suffering for us when we don't deserve it. You help us in time of need, even in times when we don't know what we need. You are there. Thank you so much for that. As these prayer requests were made, and I think especially for Lena, who has serious issues today in the hospital, just pray for her especially, and just touch her body and help the doctors to have wisdom. Help them to have success, but help us to always, in everything that happens, to look for Thee, to find out what are the lessons that You would have us to learn. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. We're in 1 John. I'm still cranked up pretty loud. Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And can't imagine it. Lord willing, we will finish the chapter tonight. And, you know, when you were singing the song about the heart, you know, Lord, I give you my heart. It's right here. We're looking at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Your walk needs to match your talk. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, you can look at verse 22 and do the name it, claim it type thing. You know, hey, it says right there, if I ask, I receive. But it does say that we do those things pleasing in His sight and we keep His commandments. But you got to read the next verse, because I always tell you, make sure you read the context. Verse 23, and this is His commandment. So he says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. So the commandment is to believe on the Lord. It's not doing works. It's not like, look, I do right and I live right, therefore I deserve. That's not what it says. It says, keep His commandments. Number one, get saved. And then love one another is the second commandment, second part of that. And He says, as He gave us commandment. So you see, it's not confusing. You know, your heart, if it condemns you, that's a tough situation to be in. It's tough to be in a situation where your heart condemns you, but sometimes we need that condemnation. If we're not living for the Lord, not doing right, our heart needs to condemn us. And if it condemns us not, then that gives us confidence that maybe we're on the right path, doing the right thing. And that's what we have to determine. We have to be there with God and know what God wants us to do. It's a prayer promise. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And again, it's amazing to me how these verses on abiding are butchered, but they are. In John 15, look at verse 7. Oh no, let's go up to verse 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, purging isn't easy, but if you're purged, you'll bring forth more fruit. Sometimes it's not easy to get your, you know, your branches cut off or trimmed or pruned or purged. But He says He does it to bring forth more fruit. I remember when we first did tomatoes, they said, you know, there's that branch that goes up in the middle. You take that sucker branch off and, man, it'll just help your tomato plants. Well, that first year we were on virgin soil and our tomatoes were like this. How many ate tomatoes today? Farmer, yeah, there's two. Man, we did. Judy found those tomatoes in Alabama on her way back and man, I mean, they were just delicious. She was saying, hey, tell everybody there's more tomatoes over there. And I went, no, no. I mean, there aren't any more to give to you now. We're down to six. But I mean, she had a whole box for $5. I mean, don't think she spent big dollars on you. But she took care of you if you're going to eat those tomatoes. They're really good. But you go and we took those sucker branches off, and man, the tomato plants just, I mean, they were 6 feet tall. And they had tomatoes on like this. We couldn't even eat them all. That was just a 8x8 area that we did. The next year we did 8x16, and then we did 16x16. How do I know those? Because we used 4x4s as the outer barriers. That's how I knew. And then we hit the road. We never had another garden ever since. Man, I miss gardens. You say, well, you're home now. You know, put a garden in. I got grass in the backyard. You know? It's just one of those things. Yeah. I could use that. And we talked about doing a garden for a community garden next door, actually. I mean, I think it's a good idea. We'd have to figure out what the soil's like, and, you know, probably fix up the soil some, but do a community garden. Imagine the outreach that could be. All of a sudden you have a whole community coming to a garden area and taking care of it and planting their own spot and sharing amongst each other, and probably won't work at all because none of them will do it. Just kidding. That just make me do all the work. Hey, we're in this community garden. We appreciate you taking up all of our, you know, getting all of our weeds out of there. But there, you missed one. Slap. Look at verse 3. No, I'm not going to slap anybody. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I want to be clean. How do you get clean? Through his word. You read his word. You hide his word in your heart. You're clean through his word. Abide in me, verse 4. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit to itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. So people say, well, if you don't abide in him, he'll reject you. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about being fruitful. It's talking about, in 1 John, fellowship. It's not talking about salvation. If you don't abide in him, then he's going to, you know, you're gone, you're out. No, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Well, there's the definition. He's the vine, we're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Isn't that a great thing to know? You want to know why we study the Bible? Because you can't do anything apart from God that's worthy of doing. How do you know that? Right there. The Bible says, without me, ye can do a few things. A little thing. No, nothing without me. Next verse. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. See, you lose your salvation. That is not what it's talking about. It's talking about fellowship. It's talking about abiding in him. It's talking about being fruitful. Listen, if you're not fruitful, shouldn't the Lord just gather you up and shouldn't he burn you with judgment? Shouldn't he try to get your attention? Shouldn't he try to get you refocused? Yes, that's what it's talking about. That's the context. But verse 7 on prayer. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. What is the context? You abide in me, I in you, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done unto you. What do you think your prayer requests are if you're abiding in him? Are they right or wrong? They're right. So you ask right. Remember, the Spirit maketh intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. It's not charismatic. What is it? It is that God comes in and he has the Spirit of God in you. And when you pray, he develops them according to his will so that your requests go before God and they're made according to the will of God and they're answered accordingly. But when you ask outside the will, you're not abiding in him. That is the context. So don't think it's name it, claim it again. That's another verse that you got to look at and you got to understand and you got to get it in context. If you ignore the context, you might as well go home and watch the televangelist on TV. Go touch your TV, get an empty blessing, send them a bunch of money, and you'll get more or less blessing. I don't think that's what I meant to say. You'll get even less of a blessing. But that's what it's all about. They take these verses, they twist them, and then they say, just plant your seed gift. In other words, send me the money. Send me your seed. And then I'll send you a handkerchief so you can know that I prayed over it. You can stick it on your head and get your healing so you'll grow hair. I mean, isn't that what it, yeah, that's what it's all about. It's just about duping the sheep like we talked about this morning. Look at another verse. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Just these thoughts, sometimes I have to let them go, but they're funny to me, even if I don't tell you what they are. Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, ye have not because ye ask not. You know, I had that verse quoted to me by one of my assistants when I was at the mission. We went out and there was a basketball hoop. I was trying to get it for Justin. We just adopted the children. And I told Gary, I said, man, I don't want to pay $125 for that. I said, $100 maybe. He said, why don't you offer him $100? You have not because you ask not. I never really thought of that verse. And I go, hey, how about $100? He says, sure. That verse has stuck with me ever since. You have not because you ask not. You guys got a piano, didn't you, Carissa? Antique piano. I took them with me. And we got the pool table and loaded up. And there's this piano there. And the guy says, the lady says, well, look, I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm going to put it out. I can't get rid of it. It's an antique. It's got one bad key. I don't sound good to me, but what do I know? And so you have not because you asked not. You asked about it. And guess what? They went out and got it the other day. You have not because you ask not. But look at what else it says, because I don't want you to get stuck on that and forget the verse 3 in context. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. So here's the thing. Did God want them to have the piano? Sure. Did they ask? Yes. You have not because you ask not, but you ask according to the will of God. Then God takes care of it. But listen, if you're just heaping things upon your lust, like most of what the televangelists have you do, oh man, send me your money and God will give you 10 times, 10-fold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold. He'll do that and they're just lusting after it. Do you know how many people it takes to dupe a whole television audience? 1, 2, at most 3. Think about 3 out of 10,000 people that sent money in. Well, let me tell you what happened to me as soon as I sent the money and all of a sudden I had this windfall. And then they go out there and they put them on the camera and they go, tell us what happened. I had this windfall. And then they didn't go to the 997 other people and talk to them that got nothing except for an empty bank account. You're not going to get it just because you lust over it. So don't think there's promises that God says, well, you just get whatever you want. No, you have to ask for it according to God's will. Don't heap it on your lust. Don't look for things that you don't need. One more verse. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Talking about the confidence. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. What's the context? We're asking it according to His will. Asking it according to His will. Do not ask amiss. Do not ask for things that are outside of the will of God and say, look, I want this, I want this, I need this, I need this. And you're just keeping up these lusts. Listen, you're outside the will of God. And then people say, well, I just don't believe God answers prayer. Sure He does. You know what the answer is when you ask amiss? No. Thankfully, we have a Father that loves us. If you are a parent that says yes to everything your children ask for, you're not a good parent. A good parent says no because some things are not good for them. A good Father in heaven sometimes says no because the things that we ask for are not the things that we need and should have. So going back to 1 John chapter 3, talking about that thing about the heart. look at it again in verse 19, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not. You know, I was sitting there this afternoon, and I remembered my first message that I preached at a men's retreat. And it was all about the heart. And it had Proverbs 4 in there. Look at Proverbs 4, and let's run a couple of references in Proverbs on the heart. You see, at the time, I'd just gotten right with God, so I really didn't know a lot of things about... Well, I knew a lot of things when I left here, going away for 3 years, and I was losing all that understanding, all that wisdom, all that Bible knowledge. So now I'm in Bible college in 1984, and I go to this men's retreat in that Christmas time or that December. And I knew I was called to preach. And so I went and I got in the group to preach, and I preached on the heart. And this was one of the verses I remember very clearly in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. You know what diligence is? It's work. It's focus. It keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Out of it are the issues of life. We get to thinking the issues of life are in our flesh. And the issues of life is, who am I fighting today? Even if it's the worldly stuff, and you're fighting them, and you're fighting them, and you're looking out there, and you go, I gotta fight some more, and I gotta fight some more, and I gotta fight this battle and that battle. No, the issues are your heart. Why do you do what you do? Is your heart right? Everything about you is about your heart. If your heart is tender, good. But if your heart is becoming hardened, be careful. Be careful. Look at another verse there in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. How much of your heart? All of it. All of it. And don't lean on your own understanding. Don't go, well, this is what I think. This is how I feel. This is what God should be doing. Now, we don't ever say that one, but we do the other two. Don't lean on your own understanding. Now, look, just because I say that doesn't mean your understanding is all wrong. But you just need to make sure your understanding is in line with God's understanding. Keep your heart with all diligence. Trust in the Lord. With all thine heart, lean not on thine own understanding. And then look at Proverbs 14 about confidence. Proverbs 14, I think it's verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord. Strong confidence. People look at me sometimes. They say, "Well, you're bold, brash." I don't even know what to, I don't listen to a lot of people sometimes, but I'll tell you this: I'm confident. I'm confident. Why am I confident? Because I've been in this a long time. When I veer off, you know what? I'm confident God loves me enough to bring me back. When I have a hiccup in life, I'm confident God's still there. The confidence comes from God. Now, people can look at it and they go, "Oh, well, you're prideful." I just don't want to get up here and go, "Well, you know, the Bible could say, or the Bible could mean." Listen, if I don't believe it enough to preach it with boldness, then I don't need to be saying it. If it's my opinion, I'll try to say, listen, this is what I think, or this is my opinion. I'll try to tailor that down and limit those types of comments, or at least let you know that this isn't thus saith the Lord. But if it's thus saith the Lord, I'm here to tell you, your heart is important. No qualms with that. Your confidence is important. You know what the Bible says, confidence in an unfaithful man? It talks about that. I don't want to put my confidence in people. I put my confidence in the Lord. If you don't put your confidence in people, you won't get let down if you put your confidence in the Lord. That doesn't mean you can't trust people. It doesn't mean you've got to be judgmental toward, and just the opposite. You know how I preach about, judging people unrighteously. For what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. Judge righteous judgment. Judge all things. So you're supposed to judge everything. But you better be careful how you judge. Because that judgment that you judge, if it is unrighteous, then others will judge you that way. And you'll wonder, why am I living such a life where people are so, condemning on me and they don't like me and I'm such a nice guy or a gal. I mean, not me, but y'all. Don't get confused on that. I was applying it to y'all too. The other side of the sex. Going back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Does your spirit bear witness that you're a child of God? The Bible says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." You know, I do not assume anybody's saved, except for my wife and me. I have to include her because she's my spouse. I've been around her for, it seems like a lifetime, 37 years.
Really?
Right? Bill, she does not want to brag on how long she has put up with you. Up. Anita agrees. What I'm saying is I'm not going to question my wife's eternal security or her salvation. I've been around her, I mean, day in and day out. We lived in a motorhome for 2 years, right out here. Some of you have told me, man, you'd kill each other. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. Moving out of there in that house, I couldn't find her half the time in the house. Really. She was in the garage. I'd go through the bedroom. Hey, go through another bedroom. Walk back in the, then we have a bathroom that has a wall, where the stall is. I didn't want to say toilet. And you walk in, you're like, hello, anybody in here? It's not like our other bathrooms. Our other bathrooms are, excuse me, really, literally, weren't they? They were small. And now it's like, I don't know, I couldn't find her for the longest time. And I finally put a bell around her neck. Listen, some of you aren't as confident about your marriage as I am about mine. And some of you try to train her and tell her she shouldn't put up with me, but you shouldn't be telling the pastor's wife that. My goodness. And by the way, I do agree with you. look at 1 John chapter 4. I got to get here because the title of my message is Try Those Spirits. I got to get to chapter 4, verse 1. Plus, I need to move on. We're in my marriage again. Good night. You guys need to just leave us alone. Just kidding. Beloved, verse 1. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the spirits. Do you realize that there is more lie than truth in the world? That means there's more liars than honest people in the world. And let's just leave it to religion. I'm not talking about politicians. I'm not talking about employers or employees, or I'm talking about religion. I'm talking about those that claim the name of Christ. But in general, the Bible says that there are many which go in thereat, meaning condemnation, and few there be that find the way, the truth, and the life. That's what the Bible says. So what's that mean? The majority is wrong. Minority is right. So when you're fighting something or you're looking at something, you can't just believe it because it's said. I get so frustrated with people who say, well, it was on the internet. I mean, they don't say that. They find it on the internet, and then they would never say, because it's on the internet, it's true. But it's true because they found it on the internet. How does that work? There are more people trying to dupe you than they're trying to help you. Now, think about that statement, because I just made it up, and it sounded really good to me. But there are more people trying to dupe you than help you. So what do you do with that? You have to be on guard. Be biblical. Try the spirits. Try the spirits. So we're going to look at some things about the spirit. You know, the Bible says there's a human spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:11. 1 Corinthians 14:32. There's a human spirit. We all know that one, so we won't necessarily look that up. There's a Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:14. We all know that one, so we won't look that one up. You need to remember in Mark 6:7, there's an unclean spirit. Remember he had an unclean spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:12, there's the spirit of this world. Now I want you to look that one up. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 10. Verse 9, because I just preached that one the other day. Let's do it again. Again, reading in context. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. So you can't know the things God's prepared for you according to that verse. But look at the next two words. But God. And again, that's why I'm so much... That's not why I'm harping on reading your Bible. That is one of the reasons why I'm harping on reading your Bible. Because the Bible says, blessed is he that readeth. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You are blessed if you read. So it says you can't know in verse 9, and I've heard people preach whole messages on it. You read verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So what can you know? Everything God wants you to know. No limitations. You see, in the Old Testament, they had limitations. They couldn't even know who Jesus was and when he was coming. Had they known, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had Satan known that Christ crucified was the greatest victory ever won, he never would have put him on that cross. He never would have had Barabbas released. He never would have had the crowd, instigated the crowd to crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. But he didn't know. We can know all those things and many more. Because the Bible says we can. So what do you want to know? I want to know God. I want to know truth. I want to know the future. I want to know right. I want to know wrong. And I want to be able to discern the difference. And the only way to do that is to know my Bible. I want to know. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? So that's the spirit of man. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. So what is there? There's a spirit of the world. You didn't receive that spirit of the world from God. Let me tell you how you got that spirit of the world. You were born into it. It was nurtured and nurtured and nurtured and nurtured. And you just got to quit nurturing it. How do you quit nurturing it? You feed the spirit within you, the new spirit, the new man. You feed him and that old man is put asunder. So we haven't received the spirit of the world. Well, then why do we have it? Because it's already here. Look at what we have received. But the Spirit which is of God, you've received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You have the Spirit that God gives you so you can know the things freely given. And how does God give it to you? Does He say, well, you got to work for it? Well, you sort of do. You got to study your Bible. You got to read your Bible. You got to be faithful. You got to pray. But then He blesses you in spite of yourself, as we've said many times here. So that's the spirit of the world. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Are we in the last days, latter times? I would think so. I mean, they're latter than what they were yesterday. But you look out in the world and you see certain things and you say, man, this world's getting bad. The Bible gives you one example of what's going to happen. Men shall wax worse and worse. How bad is it going to get? Tell me. Yeah. It's going to get worse. That's why you came here tonight, to hear that one thing. It's going to get worse. You say, well, I thought we were going to win the next election. It's still going to get worse. I thought he ain't. But he's better than what, you know, I don't even know what to say. I just need to stop saying what's on my mind. I don't even know what to call him. Bumbling Biden, I don't know. But he's not the answer. The answer's not trust Washington. The answer's not trust Tallahassee. The answer's all in Jesus Christ, and that's why He says try the spirits, whether they be of God. But look at what's coming and look what's already here as far as the spirits go. Verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, we can go on, but notice they're seducing spirits. Try the spirits. Are they seducing spirits? You know what seducing spirits do? Come on, it's an easy answer. They seduce. And you all, well, you got an A. They're seducing spirits. They seduce you. They're seductive. They're intriguing. They're something you look at and on the surface you don't really understand how bad they are. It's like in Proverbs it talks about the woman in the harlot's attire walking down the road and catches the eye of somebody and then all of a sudden catches the eye and then catches the heart and then catches the body and then before you know it, they've sinned beyond comprehension. A seducing spirit. She's a seducing woman. Seducing, seductive. That's the spirits we got in the world here in the last days. You know why why churches that don't teach the truth are so big? They're seductive. You know what they offer you? Whatever you want. In fact, they'll come by your house when they're getting ready to build another one of the monstrosities and they'll say, hey, we want to know what you want in a church. Here's a form. Can you tell us? We're taking this thing. And you say, well, I want a church that, I can wear flip-flops every day. Oh, you don't like suits and ties? Hey, we want one where we wear shorts every day. Listen, I don't care if you come in here in shorts and flip-flops. You do what God leads you to do. If God leads you to come here that way, you come here and you let God speak to you. I'm not going to tell you what God tells you, but I will tell you this. He probably wants you to wear your best. I know He doesn't want you to wear clothing that is immodest. So, oh, you're judgmental. I just quoted Scripture. So what do you do with that? Just align it with the Bible. If I'm wrong, just do what you want. Or do what God wants and take it home and put it in your bank and say, hey, ring, ding, 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 he had my number today. That's all I have to say. I do not need to tell you how I'm going to manage your life. My goodness, I can't manage my own. Well, actually, I can, but with the Lord's help. But I can't manage yours. It's not my job. It's not my calling. So one of the questions at the very end today from Anita was, hey, what's the job of the pastor? Oh, well, he's supposed to. Here it is. Let me read it to you. He's supposed to micromanage all the lives in the church. He's to tell you when to wake up, when to go to sleep, what car to buy, what clothing to wear, how to, you know, whether you get to wear earrings when you're 7 or you got to wait till you're 70. Or listen, man, that's between you and your husband. That's between you and your parents. That's between you and your spouse. It's between you and God. It is not me to manage you. I can't do that consistently. Sooner or later, it's going to be me and not him. See, I could tell you a few. I can tell you, well, be dressed modestly. I can tell you that. Why? It comes from the Bible. But further than that, you've got to be very careful. Because my list of rules, you may look at him and go, man, you have got the greatest list of rules I've ever seen in my life. You must be a spiritual giant. That was tough. Well, I am. I am, bless you, child. I have my list up here and you think that's a great list. You're right. And you know what? I'm your pastor. Come love me because I will tell you what to do. I will keep you right with God. I can't do that. And then somebody comes along and my list of 16 isn't enough because they've got 20. And I look at that and I get jealous and I go, they got 4 more than me. And boy, those 4 look really spiritual. I need to start changing my list and add those 4 on it. Listen, it'll choke you up what I'm preaching about. On your birthday. Somebody give that woman a drink of water. I am such a terrible pastor. You know that, right? If it wasn't Kathy, and listen, there are things that a pastor wants. When we give a $15, by the way, Abby, you need to listen to this because your dad gets them a lot and you come up and get them. So here's what I want you to do. When your dad gets one of those and you come up, I just want you to, for your dad, just go. That's what Kathy does. Can you do that? Can you do that? You think about it next time, okay? You need to win one next month. I guess it's the next one. You just go. It'd just be fun. I just like that. It's just a good thing. And listen, it's her birthday. We've got to make these birthdays special because they only come around once a year. Unless you're Wesley. What, we have 3 in a row for him? And then he was a week early this time. He's the 30th. Oh. Look. So go on to Hebrews chapter 1 before I totally lose my audience. Hebrews chapter 1, another thing on trying the spirits. Hebrews 1, look at verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For which of the angels, let me look and make sure. Oh, I got to go to verse 14. Look at verse 14. Are they not, talking about the angels, ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Another spirit, we got ministering spirits. The angels are ministering spirits. By the way, you know, you can be a ministering spirit. We've got ministering spirits out here. I think of Arlene. What's that nurse's name I called her? Florence Nightingale. She brings over the pot of, chicken soup. Noodles is all I could think of. Oh my. And I got her sneezing. But she, I mean, I just look at, she left today to go take care of her boss who's, you know, needs help. And I look out there and I see other people that are ministering spirits. I mean, I don't mean angels. I do mean angels. Y'all are a bunch of angels. I mean as people ministering spirits. Imagine a church where everybody has a ministering spirit. Be nice. Be nice. I know we talk about, you know, the beautiful decorations. Jan with one arm, one hand. And I know Brenda helps. I know Gary helps. I know others help. Listen, it's a beautiful thing. I can't do this. I even appreciate it when I'm not that big on stuff like that. But I've got to tell you, if it wasn't done, I'm not going to do it. Man, you know us men. Just wipe all that out and leave it the way it is. But boy, when I come in and I see it and I go out there and I see it, and I go over in the other building and I see it. And just the dedication, I'm using Jan maybe because she's not here. You know, she's one we can talk about right now. Y'all do it all the time about people. Just kidding. Be a ministering spirit. We need more of them. I look at Haley over here. She wants to be here because she wants to be with the children. Guess what? And they love her. She loves them. She says, I feel like it's my calling. And then Adeline was here this morning. She says, I just want to help volunteer. You pray. You said, hey, I need help. And all of a sudden there's Adeline saying, hey, I want to help. She's there to help. And I look at so many of you others out there. Listen, be a ministering spirit. We need more of them. Yeah, we're talking about the angels here, but it's just another type of spirit. And then in Revelation, you got the seven spirits. You know, it talks about the seven spirits and what they do. But look at Luke chapter 7. Luke 7. Now, I talked about the ministering spirits, and now I'm going to bring the rest of you into the discussion. This is going to be so terrible when I get there. Luke 7, look at verse 21. And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits. I don't mean any of you are evil spirits. I can say it like I tell my wife, look, if I say something and you don't get it, it's probably a joke. Really, I joke with her and then I look at her face and go, oh, honey, I'm just joking. Like right now, I'm just joking. If I thought you were all a bunch of evil spirits, you know, the last thing I'd do is say y'all a bunch of evil spirits. You know, because you can joke about something that's not true, but you can't joke about something that's true. But I would like to emphasize, no matter where you are in your walk of life, be a ministering spirit. Try the spirits. Try the spirits. Because there's bad spirits out there. You know why they, you ever wonder why they call alcohol spirits? It actually, alcohol and drugs open you up to the spiritual realm. And that is why a lot of them end up ending their lives, or they just start it and you can't stop it. Once you open up Pandora's box, if you never take the first drink, you'll never be an alcoholic. If you never pop the first pill, you'll never be on drugs. I remember when I was in college, the girls, we had a big facility, a big house, like three stories high in college. And I was on one side of the first floor and they were on the other side. I came over and they were popping pills. And they invited me to pop one. And I just always knew better. I just said no. But I was really disappointed. I mean, these girls were smart, at least book-wise. But boy, they were going to mess up their life. I never popped the first pill. I never shot the first injection. And there's things out there now that if you do them, you never come back. I remember when it was crack cocaine. When I was head of the mission, it was crack cocaine. Now you've got stuff that you just take that much of it and it'll kill you. You don't wear gloves as a police officer and you can go into a house and get it on you and it comes through the skin and then you're done. You're dead. It just makes me think we ought to appreciate our military, appreciate our first responders. They put their life on the line all day long, every day. And look at the spirit of this country and how it's changing. Evil spirit. It's the wrong spirit. Are they all perfect? No. Somebody said something to me about teachers the other day and said, you know, you got all this, trans that, and you make a big deal over it and you don't like it. And what about teachers that are perverts? Let's just call them that. Why don't you make a big deal over that? And I said, well, I do if I hear about it, but I don't hear about it as much. Well, it's out there and it's... So I looked it up yesterday and I sent the thing to him. I said, there's 3 million teachers in America. If you hear about a new incident every day, that's 300 plus in a year. You're still looking at one in what, 1,000? See, it's not, you know, and you say, well, there's all that unreported. You're still looking at one in 800? You have good teachers. Don't throw them all under the bus because you've got some bad apples out there. And you can't equate the two. Wickedness is wickedness. But you can't look at what's going on in America and all this confusion and then say, what about teachers? You have bad teachers. They mess with children and have relationships with children. And what about that? It's wicked. But it's not the same. It's not the same. The prevalence is not there. If you have 999 out of 1,000 good teachers, don't throw them onto the bus because of the one. But when it's wickedness, that on the surface, underneath, the whole thing is wicked, it's wicked. And that's where we need to stand. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray right now for your will to be done. We thank you for being such a gracious, merciful, wonderful God. Lord, we love you and need you. And we're thankful that we can hear from you through your word. Continue to speak to our hearts, mold our minds and our souls to what you would have them to be. In Jesus' name, with your head bowed and eyes closed, the music plays.